Why is accountability important in security and justice programming?
I think I'd like to go back just one step before I answer the question and say that it's accountability and oversight is important for security and justice work generally and generically. If you think of the powers that many of the institutions have, legal powers many of the institutions have within the security and justice sector, you can see there has to be extra account and extra attention paid to oversight. So, for instance, the police quite legitimately have the power to stop you, to search you, detain you, to arrest you. They can legitimately use a certain degree of violence, including lethal force, if necessary and under the right circumstances. Equally, you can think across the entire security and justice portfolio, and all the institutions have quite immense powers against what might be seen to be individual human rights. Therefore, it must be right that accountability and oversight is right at the very front of all our activities. If you translate that into programming, I think it becomes extra important. The first reason is that many of the institutions we work with in fragile states and developing countries, certainly in post-conflict countries, there is often a history of human rights abuse or lack of process by those institutions who are supposedly delivering security and justice services to people. In many instances, in previous regimes, they've been abusers of people's rights and abusers of people rather than helping them. It is therefore possible that if you approach and only to reform the institution in terms of increasing its professionalisation or reforming the way that it delivers its work, that if situation changes, if there's a difference, if there's a change in political circumstance, a change in context, then those enhanced professional skills could be used to the detriment of ordinary society. It therefore, I think, must be important to work up and build oversight and accountability mechanisms at the same time that we're working on professionalising the individual institutions. It's also important to remember the way in which institutions work. Too many of them, particularly the police and the military come to mind, if they don't have sufficient oversight and accountability structures in place, they will make up their own strategies and conduct their own activities. Now, some of these might be quite legitimate and quite useful. There's nothing to say that they would be, and there's often very little consultation with the ordinary end users. Therefore, you would expect a Ministry of Internal Affairs or a Ministry of Defence or whatever the ministry may be to set out what the policy should be, what the priority should be, what the budget would be, and making sure that those institutions actually perform in the manner that's required, as opposed to those institutions doing their own thing. And then just finally, for justice programmes, the donors also have a responsibility to make sure that their aid money is being well spent and is not making a bad matter worse. And so I think there's an element of risk mitigation to making sure that there's an oversight and accountability structure in place at the same time and linked to everything else that's going on in the programme.
Who is accountability to?
Well, maybe start off with who accountability is not to. I fear that during the first 6 or 7 years of this century, there seems to have been, particularly in conflict, post-conflict and stabilisation missions, the notion that accountability is actually to the donor. You've seen time and time again, particularly in Iraq and Afghanistan where I was, that there were individual members of the international community trying to hold whatever the institution was, host institution, to account. That cannot be right. First of all, there's no legal basis for that, and also it's hardly a sustainable activity. So I think whoever the accountability is to, it should certainly be someone from that host nation. And there is no, of course, one single person or one single institution. Classically, accountability has been in two different lines. One is, it's called horizontal accountability for what it's worth, but it would be to people in the government. So it could be the relevant line ministry, it could be Parliament, the Office of Ombudsman, the Human Rights Commissioner, something in the government framework. That sort of accountability is very high in legitimacy, I think. The problem, I think, is that if you have poor capacity in whichever institution you're working with, it may well be that there's poor capacity in those institutions trying to hold them to account. There's also the danger of politicisation, of course. The other way is vertical accountability to the communities that are having services delivered to them. And that can be very, very strong and powerful. It takes away from the danger of just having a supply-led solution and gives people voice in the services they require. It's strong in legitimacy, perhaps not so strong in voice, and certainly not very strong in political power. So you would want both of those structures, I think, in place at the same time, as well as internal and diagonal accountability. So it's a whole mixture of different strands of accountability. There is a model called the 3+1 model, which is an interesting one to debate. But I think, in essence, no one line of accountability. There has to be a multiplicity of them.
What can be done to improve accountability?
I think having it in the first place. Not designing a security and justice development programme which doesn't contain elements of accountability. I fear, and this is a generalism, of course, because there's an exception to every rule, I fear that across the world you see far too many security and justice programmes which are looking at increasing the professionalisation, reforming a particular institution, doesn't matter which one it is, in the security and justice family, but there is no holding that institution to account for what its activities may be thereafter. And so I think the way to do it is to make sure that these two activities, the oversight and accountability and the professionalisation, or if you like, the reform of the institution, go hand in glove. One should not come in front of the other, they should be done at the same time. If you read reports on design of security and justice programmes, often you see pages and pages written on the delivery agency and a very small bit written on perhaps the governing ministry or department, and that is a sign of what's going to come. So balancing the portfolio, I think, is the important thing.
And lastly, are there any good examples of contexts where accountability has worked well?
I think there are quite a few, I'm pleased to say. There's equally a number of countries where it's not so strong. And I think things are getting better, so that's very useful. Some of the recent work being conducted in the DRC on a large police reform and accountability programme is particularly encouraging to see. And where I think, as a strand of work across many countries, where the strength can be seen, I think, is working with communities at the point of interface with local policing. So it's local police working with local communities, sitting together. These four have different names in different countries, but essentially it's the two groups coming together, having a meeting of minds, deciding what the local problems and priorities are, and then the police trying to resolve them with community help. So that builds up trust and transparency between the two sections. And that strength of working at the local level, I think there's lots and lots of evidence of that in many, many countries now, that that's a very useful approach. The disadvantage of that approach as it, alone is that it requires a permissive environment from central government for it to take place. And unless the central government takes up the reins and follows the innovation, then it can wither on the vine and can be a lack of sustainability when the donor moves out. I think examples of high-level accountability working particularly well in programmes are less so, and that's mainly to do with either political will or non-political will or poor capacity within those individual institutions.